Amen. One day we'll see him. If you have your Bible, you'll be finding the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Seems a little odd preaching from this text for our graduates, but I believe that every age group in here can get into what God is saying here to a man by the name of Caleb. I know some of our graduates are going on to college. Some are finishing college, going on to work, or at least their parents are praying they're going on to work. And some are going to be playing ball in college. Some of them are going to be sharing in other things. And, well, we just pray God's best on each one of you as you go. Joshua 14, would you stand with me in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God? Begin reading with me in verse number 6, Joshua 14. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Caleb said, But I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, either for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day now the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and were fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. You may be seated. I'm preaching on this subject. Don't stop now. Whether it's to our graduates, whether it's to anybody of any age in this building or to our church. In Joshua 11, verse 23, you find these words. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. And then Joshua 13, verse number 1. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken. That does not mean he was feeble, but advanced in years. And then he said these words, And there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. You've graduated from high school. You've graduated from college. But I want to say today, there's yet much land to be possessed. God still got a plan. God still wants you to have a dream. God still wants you to have a vision. God still wants you to go on. And today, whether you're a teenager or a teenager, God said it's not time to stop. It's time to go on. And regardless of what your age is, God wants us to be like Caleb and like Joshua, to be an encourager to those around us. Caleb is a man that's with a full steam, man. He's going head on for God, 85 years of age. But here's the key to Caleb's life. He said, I wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, I have wholly followed the Lord. Caleb said, my sails are set, they're wide open, and I'm ready to go for God. Now let's find out a few things about Caleb that maybe we can apply to our life. Number one, he had the kind of faith that would not waver. You remember the story in the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and 14. Joshua and Caleb were sent by Moses to spy out the land. 10 other men were sent with them. They stayed for 40 days, which in the Bible is a number of testimony, a number of testing. And when they returned, they gave a majority report that said this: we can't do it. We can't take that land. We can't possess that land. There's too many giants. There's too many Anakims over there. We just can't do it. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, oh, yes, we can. God said that land is our land. And we're going to go over there and we're going to take that by the help and the grace of God. But the people accepted a majority report. I said in the early service, I said, the majority is not always right. You know how I know that? Because the majority of the people in the world today, and the majority of people in America today, and the majority of people in South Carolina today, and the majority of people in Easley, South Carolina today, are not in God's house. That tells you right there, the majority is not always right. You say, preacher, you think folks ought to go to church? Absolutely, yes, they ought to go to church. Amen? It was a minority report. The majority said they're giants over there. Graduates, you could be looking at your life and your future and the obstacles that you're facing and say, they're too many, that's too much, it's too big, I don't think I can do it. 10 of them came back and they were trembling. 2 of them came back and said, let's go over there and take that land that God says it's ours. 10 came back and said, look at those giants, how big they are. 2 of them came back and said, look at our God, how big that He is. Let's go over there and take this land. He brought us out of Egypt. He provided for us every step of the way. And what He has done, He will do. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, and He's never failed us yet. So graduates, you need to ask yourself this question: what's next for my life? If God can bring me this far, whether through high school or through college, what's next? And I want to say, it's wide open. Anything God has for you, I pray God's going to do exploits with these young men and women as they leave here and go out, train in the faith and train in their field to go out, whether it's going on to college or going out there in the workforce and making an impact for the glory of God. I want to say, Rock Springs Baptist Church, what's next for us? What's in God's plan? What does God want us to do? America. Where do we go from here? I hope we don't keep going in the same old pathway spiritually. We need to return to the God of our fathers. There needs to be a return back to God. Joshua and Caleb, they were so distraught when they heard what the other 10 said and the other people said, let's don't go, that they rent their clothes and they were in sackcloth and ashes. They said, we can't believe what we're hearing with our ears. In fact, the people turned on Joshua and Caleb, and not only did they disbelieve their report, they wanted to kill them. But not only did they accept the minority report, God got angry with them. And God was going to wipe them off the face of the earth until Moses interceded and said, God, please don't do that. God, if you won't forgive them, then wipe my name out of the book. Where's our God today? What's He doing in our life? God said, all right, I'll not hurt you. I'll not destroy you. But you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And every day and every month and every year, for 40 years, those folks were out there wandering in the wilderness, and they never were able to enter into the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. And the Bible says they were men of a different spirit. And there'll be some graduates of high school and college, there'll be some folks, there'll be some people that say, man, there's no hope. There's nothing we can do. The world's against us. Everything's too hard. And they'll sit down and they'll fold their hands and they'll not do anymore. But we need the spirit of Joshua and Caleb, that whatever God wants us to do, that we'll plunge forth and do it. Caleb said, Lord, you promised me when I was 40, I could take this land. And now, Lord, I want that mountain. I want that promise that you gave to me. I want everything you said that was mine. And so Caleb got up and he said, I'm ready to go. And he said, if it takes a fight, I'll be willing to fight. Lord, I'm going with you. Let's do it. I want to say it's time. And graduates, if there's something that God wants you to do and it seems hard and difficult, roll up your sleeves and go at it. It's worth it. I want to say to the church today, friend, it's time we rolled up our spiritual sleeves and we started fighting for the glory of God. I'm not talking about with fists. I'm not talking about with onslaught. I'm talking about spiritually rolling up our sleeves and getting in our prayer closets and once again bombarding the throne of grace and fighting for the glory of God. Fighting for our churches and fighting for our nation. Whatever it takes, we must be willing to do it. He had a faith that wouldn't waver. Can you imagine waiting 45 years? I told the early service, most of us, we can't wait 45 seconds for anything. 45 years. Through all the weariness. The trampling about in the wilderness. Death. Hunger, disappointment, believing that God was going to give them that mountain, but wandering round and around and around. Sometimes we don't want to follow God if He doesn't answer us right away. If it's not done in a week, if it's not done in a month, if it's not done in a year, we get disturbed. Sometimes God's time clock is not our time clock. Remember what our choir sings sometimes? He's 4 days late, but He's right on time. Sometimes God's wondering, will you be faithful? Will you stand true? And sometimes we get impatient, and rather than standing on His promises, we try to hold God to a deadline. We say, God, I'll serve You, I'll follow You, if You'll do this, and if You'll do it in this amount of time. And God said, I want to know if You'll trust Me. I want to know if in the midst of the difficulties and the hard times, will You trust Me? Will You stay true to Me? God said, if You'll keep the faith, I'll keep My promise. Somebody here today says, Lord, I love You, but why is this happening in my life? I want to tell you, in the last couple of weeks, your pastor has had that question asked him. Why, Pastor? And I want to say to you, it's not wrong to ask God why. You're to stay faithful and true to God in the midst of that. It's not wrong to ask God why. And I want to tell you today, God doesn't answer all of our whys. But I tell you what He will do. He'll keep His promises if we'll keep the faith. Caleb would not give up. You're at a point today where you're wanting to give up. Graduate, you're thinking there's nothing more out there for you. You'll discourage. Hey, listen, if you're at the point where you're willing to give up and quit and throw in the towel and they wanted to go back to Egypt. They said, we'd rather be back there under the old hard taskmaster than to die out there in the wilderness. They said, we'd rather be in Egypt. We'd rather go back to our old lifestyle, to our old friends. It was easier out there than it is now. God says, hang in there. God says, stay faithful. God said, you keep on keeping on, and I'll give you that mountain. Sometimes we stop just short of the mountain that God has for every one of us. Caleb says, you must keep your eyes on God if you want to take that mountain. He had a faith that never wavered. He had a strength that never weakened. He wouldn't give up his faith. Was strong. Paul said, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. We live in a tough world, folks. Our youth live in a tough world. Man, they're going to find out things they never fathom as they get older in life. What this world is really all about. You have a tough time. We live in a tough world. It drains us. It pulls on us in every fashion. And sometimes the very faith that we have, the world tries to take it away. Our graduates are going to go to schools where some of those places they go to are professors who are atheist and agnostic and don't believe the Bible. Why, we even live in a nation where Christianity is a minority. And folks are doing everything they can to try to stamp it out. But I want to tell you, it may get weak, but it'll never get stamped out because Jesus Christ has already conquered death, hell, and the grave. And I've already read the end of the book. We're on the winning side. Amen. But it may get to the point, sometimes in this life, even as this nation attacks Christian tenets of the faith. And when you go off to school and you do things or you don't do things, and They laugh at you. They make fun of you for your Christian faith. And they probably will. They do that today in America. It's all right to have any other kind of persuasion of religion except the faith. That's the true faith that believes Jesus Christ is the truth, the life, and the way. But I challenge you, graduates, I challenge you, stay true to the Lord Jesus. Your strength doesn't come from you. It comes from the God that's within you. And when tragedy and disappointment and heartache come your way, don't turn away from God. Turn to God. Oh, I've seen folks in these last 35 years, I've seen them be faithful to God, and they go through a crisis and they go through a difficulty, and God gets them through that. And before long, you see them missing church and laying out and not following God. They just seem to give up on God. Hey, when God does something for you, that shouldn't motivate you to stay away from God. That ought to spur you on to be everything you can for God. We ought to be like Caleb and wholly follow the Lord. Caleb came to a time in his life. I'm sure when he said, you know, God made all of these promises. I want my mountain. Now, you know what weakens our faith? I'll tell you what weakens our faith. When there's something in our life that the Holy Spirit puts His finger on and says, you don't need that in your life. You need to get that out. And we say to the Holy Spirit, no, I want to hold on to that. That's mine. Lord, you can have all these other areas of my life, but you can't have that one. Notice what Caleb said. I have wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly followed the Lord. If we're going to be what God wants us to be, there's got to come a time in our life when anything He touches, anything He wants, we've got to say to the Lord, I surrender all. If we're going to grow in God and go with God, we got to be wholly following the Lord. And when the Lord says, you can have that or you can't have that, then you say to the Lord, yes, sir, I'll wholly follow you. But thirdly, he had a blessing that never wasted. When you're going and growing with God and the Lord is blessing you, you want others to be blessed. Man, when God's blessing you, you want blessings to flow out of you so that others can be blessed. That's the kind of man that Caleb was. He wanted to be a blessing to others. The blessing in his life was spilling over to other people. You wanted to be a blessing to your family and to your friends. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. God gave it to you. And you want to be a blessing to other people. Your life and my life has been touched by so many wonderful people down through the years. I mean, there's men and women that belong to this church. Men and women who are already in glory that have impacted my life that I could never thank God enough for. That their life has spilled out upon me and been a blessing unto me. Peter and John were going to church one day, and a cripple lay at the gate. And he opened his hands and he was begging for money. And Peter and John said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Listen, God doesn't give us a blessing just so we can be blessed. That's good. But He wants that blessing to be used to bless other people. A little girl was in school in the sixth grade. She was there at school, and the teacher did something that normally he wouldn't have done, but he bought popsicles for everybody in the class. And he gave them out. And he was watching them eat their popsicles. And he looked back at a little girl by the name of Dorothy. And he looked at her desk, and that popsicle was melting and dripping. He went back to Dorothy, and he said, Dorothy, you're supposed to eat that popsicle. She said to the teacher, teacher, school's half over, and I wanted to take half of that popsicle home to my brother, because my brother has never eaten the popsicle, and I wanted my brother to have some of that popsicle. Do you want somebody out there in the world to have what you say that you have? Do you want them to have some of that blessing that you say that you have? What we need in our churches, we need some folks in our churches with spiritual fallout, that their lives get so full of God that they begin to bless other people. We got a lot of cop-outs. We got a lot of folks who drop out. We got folks who give up. But when God's been a blessing to you, don't hoard it up. You be a blessing to somebody else. You go home and be the kind of daddy and the kind of mama and the kind of young person that God wants you to be. You go off to college. You go out there in the force that God leads you to. and you be a blessing to somebody else. Fourthly, he had a love that never waned. He saw that mountain. It was the highest point of the promised land. Graduates, don't aim low. Aim high. I don't know what God's got in store for you. But don't settle for anything less than what God has. Be careful when you go out there and you live your life. Don't let something come in the way that would hinder you from going on. Don't let the enemy place something there that's going to rob you of the things that God has for you in the future. You aim high. You live for God. And you be the best that you can be. And wherever God leads you in the future, listen, don't second guess. Don't shortcut yourself. You be everything that God's called you to be. There's no telling what God could do with some of these young men and women. Amen? Amen. Somebody's going to run the country if it lasts that long. Somebody's going to be teaching our children. Somebody's going to be leading in our churches. Somebody's going to be moms and dads. Somebody's going to be doing that. The promised land was wonderful. Caleb said, I want a mountain. Sometimes the devil will give you the milk and the honey. He'll give you some of that stuff, but only God can break the strongholds. Devil will fight you every step of the way. He'll give you a few things just to follow him. Why he did that to the prodigal son? He's done that over and over in the Bible. He'll give you a few things to follow him, but he'll rob you of the best things. And if you follow the enemy, he will absolutely rob you of some of the things in your life. Listen, you stay with God and wholly follow God. And when it gets tough and when it gets rough and you're out there at college, you say, well, nobody else is living for God. I think I'll just chunk it in. No, don't you do that. If nobody else serves God, you serve God because God's got a plan for your life. God's got something he wants you to do. God's saying, come up higher. I got something for you. Rock Springs Baptist Church, God's saying, come up higher. At Prayer Jabez talks about extending our cords. It talks about doing anything that God wants us to do. I'm saying as a church, don't aim low. Aim high. Believe God for great things. A little boy who was a mountain climber. He climbed a mountain that was 13,000 foot high. You say, what about that? A lot of people climb mountains that high. Yeah, but this boy had no legs and just one arm. Pretty good feat for a boy with no legs and one arm. Somebody says, Lord, I want to go to the top. Whatever it takes, I want to go to the top. Whatever my limitations are. Listen, there are no limitations with God. God can take you whomever you are, whatever's going on in your life. What shortcomings you might think you have, and God can do exploits. And God says, I can take you higher than you've ever been before. And when you cry out, say, God, I want to go to the top. I want to be the best that I can be, not for show, but I want to be the best that I can be for the honor and the glory of God. And God sees you, and God hears you, and God will help you. Caleb was the kind of Christian that the last time you saw him, he was headed for the summit. Early this morning, I got a call from Miss Rathburn's daughter, Joni. And Mama wasn't doing well. In fact, if God doesn't intervene, it doesn't sound like there's a whole lot of time that's left. Miss Rathburn got on the phone and I began to pray with her. Every time I've ever seen her to go and to pray for her, she in turn wants to pray for you or pray for somebody else. She's still climbing. In fact, just a day or so ago, Stan was telling me they took the children over to see her. And she's been there and been racked with pain and racked with difficulty. And while they were there, she took all the attention off herself. And she began to pray for those children one by one that God would bless them and God would use them in a great and a mighty way. Climbing that mountain. I wonder, where your sights set? Church, where's our sights set? Lord, I want your best. I love you. I want to serve you. Graduates, set your sights high as you can set them and believe that your God is able to do exploits with you. There's the last thing he says, and he had a life that ever witnessed. He's 85 now, but listen to what he did. He said to those young guys around, "Will you get my armor and help me get my armor on?" And those young guys, I can hear them around him saying, "Sir, don't you know you're a little old to do mountain climbing? Don't you know you're not qualified for the kind of mountain climbing?" Hey, I want to tell you, God's the qualifier in this life. God, just bring it to God. And Caleb probably said, "Guys, I know I'm up in years, but I'm going to take that mountain. So if you don't mind, how about helping me get my armor on? And y'all can stay at home if you want to, but once I get my armor on, I'm going to take that mountain." God says that mountain is mine. You know what we need in Rock Springs? You know what we need? We need some folks with the courage. And listen. The courage comes from wholly following the Lord. If you're not wholly following the Lord, you won't have courage to climb that mountain. But if you're wholly following the Lord, then you can be like Caleb and say, "I want that mountain. God says that mountain belongs to me."
Amen.
I remember men and women, and I'm almost tempted not to say anything because I don't want to leave anybody out, because there's been multitudes and multitudes of others. I remember Billy Jennings, the chairman of our building committee. I remember from the very first time we talked about a building, I remember Brother Billy and all the work he did behind the scenes, and he encouraged and challenged us to go on. I remember Wade Black, one of the men on the pulpit committee, but also a great prayer warrior. And I still remember Wade and Josie when our youth were having their prayer meetings once a month. They would get up about 4 o'clock in the morning and make those little bitty biscuits about that good and cook that good old sausage. And man, they'd just make biscuits and sausage by the bunches. And our students were given that. And I thought about men and women like that who paid the price. Men like Jason Chastain, who said, "Preacher, I want to be there when we go in that new building. Preacher, I want to keep climbing." Here's Caleb. He had a vision. He wholly followed God. And he looked at that mountain and said, "I want to take it not only for myself, I want it to be a blessing to other people." You may be here today and you think your life doesn't have any meaning. You think you don't amount to much, that you don't mean much. Little is much when God is in it. And who was it Ethel Waters said, who sung for Billy Graham, "God don't sponsor no flops." I'm telling you what, God's in the business of taking anybody and everybody and using them for His honor and glory. Can you be a witness to your family? You ought to be. Can you be a witness to your friends? Why, maybe some of you are going to go to college and you're going to meet some young man or some young woman from the other part of the world or the other part of the country, and they've never been exposed to the gospel. And little by little, you don't have to go and beat them over the head with the Bible, but they just see Jesus in your life. And all of a sudden, they begin to look, and all of a sudden they begin to ask questions, and then you begin to share Jesus with them. You're going to be a witness to your associates and to your neighbors. A lady came in the last service, said, "Why, preacher, that message was just for me. Why, God moved me to another job, and there's some things that have taken place. But in the midst of it all, my supervisor came to me and said, 'Could you start a Bible study here for us so that we can go forward in what we're doing, and maybe God will help us?'" Esther said, "For such a time as this, who knows where you're going? Who knows what's going to happen? You follow God, and maybe there'll be some to say, 'Hey, let's go higher.'" The old song said, "I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, lead me on the higher ground." God's got a summit for you. God's got a mountain for you, and the enemy is going to do his best. Oh, I went to school with guys. I went to school with guys who were talented to the gill, athletically, academically. Man, I went with them, but I saw some of them let other things creep into their life that robbed them of the summit, of the pinnacle that God had for him. Why, I was with a bunch of folks I went to school with the other night, and I saw some of their lives, and my wife and I went away a little bit discouraged and a little bit disappointed, because I saw some who had so much potential, but man, you couldn't see anything about God in their life. And I want to tell you, when all said and done, if God ain't there, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And if you live the kind of life that Caleb did, you're going to have some mountains. Or if I live to be 80 or 90, I don't know. I may not live till tomorrow. And by the way, you don't know that either. I want to keep climbing. Billy Graham. Man, he just keeps on keeping on. He can't do what he could do, but he's doing what he can do. And George Beverly Shea, Cliff Barris, E. Stanley Jones, when he 87, after he had been a missionary to India for years and years, he was talking to his granddaughter one day, and he said, God called me 50 years ago to go to India, and I went. He said, while I was there, he never let me down. He never forsook me. And if I had to do it all over again, I'd do the same thing again. I'd go where God told me to go. Amen. God's calling all of us to be a Caleb. Is it at home? Daddy? Mama? Boys and girls? Is it at work? Is it church? Is it at college? Is it at grad school? Is it out there in a new arena of your life? And buddy, after you climb that mountain of salvation, the only way you climb the mountain of salvation is nothing you do. You just receive what God's already done. Then God begins to give you a vision. Now, there are a lot of folks in the Bible who climbed and quit. I mean, this Bible is full of people who started out for God and failed. Peter did. He cussed and denied that he ever knew God. Samson messed up, Solomon messed up, David messed up, John Mark quit, and on and on and on. This Bible tells it just like it is. And there's a lot of folks who started climbing, but somewhere along the way, they got out of the mountain climbing business. That's some of you today. You used to climb. You used to wholly follow the Lord, but you got out of the mountain climbing business. And I'm going to tell you, if we're going to do what God wants us to do in the days to come, whether it be Bible fellowship or care or choir or orchestra or teaching or whatever God leads us to do at Rock Springs, we need some mountain climbers of every age that'll stand up and say, I'm going to wholly follow the Lord, whatever it means and whatever it takes. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? You're in this building today. You've never been saved. You're like Phil, who walked the aisle in the last service, who stood with me and prayed and said, Lord, come into my heart and save me. Friend, the first mountain you need to climb is the mountain of salvation. And if you never opened your heart and invited Jesus in, today is the day. Now is the time. I beg you today, would you open your heart and just say, Lord Jesus, I want to be a part of your family. I want to be saved. Lord, come into my heart and save me. You're here today and you've been saved, but you never followed through in baptism. You can't wholly follow God if you've been saved, not baptized. You're going to wholly follow the Lord? You need to follow through in those minuscule steps. God leading you to be a part of this church, then you ought to come. God leading you today to climb a mountain? I mean, you're right there. You're like Caleb. You're already wholly following the Lord. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Pursue it. Follow it. Maybe today you want to come and get on this altar and say, God, I want wisdom. I want discernment. I want guidance. Maybe you're here today and you're like some of these great folks in the Bible. Like many of us have been in our lives, you were climbing and you quit. And today it's time to start afresh and anew. Lord Jesus, we love you. I pray today you give us some mountain climbers. Lord, in the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of the majority reports, in the midst of the onslaught of the enemy, we wouldn't give in, we wouldn't give up. But Lord, we'd desire, and Lord, we'd be determined, we're going to take that mountain for Christ. Lord, for that one who's never been saved, I pray right there in that pew, they'll cry out and say, Lord, come into my heart, save me. That's me, Lord, save me. For others, Lord, who need to make public decisions, I pray they'll come.